Welcome to New Thinking for a New World, a Tilburg Foundation podcast. I am Alan Stoga, your host. Each week, I bring you conversations with people who think differently about the great issues that are shaping our world. Geopolitics, disruptive tech, mass migration, the changing climate, culture wars, all of it is grist for our mill. I hope you enjoy listening. I also hope you will let me know what you think and that you join the conversation at tilburgfoundation.org. And now for today's episode of New Thinking for a New World.
This year is going to be memorable for all sorts of reasons, most of which look to be depressing. On the positive side of the ledger, however, is a global event that will distract much of the world from otherwise dismal headlines, the FIFA World Cup. On June 11th, the first match will be played in Mexico City's Azteca Stadium between co-host Mexico and South Africa. I love Mexico, so I'm counting on Mexico to win that game, but that's a different issue. On July 19th, the final will be played outside New York City. If the past is prelude, more than 5 billion people will watch the 104 matches that comprise this year's tournament. Three countries are co-hosting: Mexico, Canada, and the United States. Joining us today is the woman who has what I think of as the near impossible task of preparing and producing Mexico's World Cup experience. Gabriel Cuevas Barón is an accomplished Mexican politician from Mexico City, former senator, representative, and delegado. She's also a friend of mine for many years and a close Tilburg Foundation collaborator. Welcome, Gabby, to New Thinking for a New World.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Alan. Indeed, we are just starting kind of the most dynamic and complex process for getting into the FIFA World Cup 2026. I started in this job a little bit like 14 months ago, but everything is rushing right now. We are just about 140 days from the opening of this huge, the largest World Cup ever, and hopefully not only the largest, but also the best World Cup ever. This is a huge challenge. This is the most seen event in the world. If we add, for example, all the different matches from Qatar 2022, there were 19 billion people seeing the different matches, plus, of course, social media and everything. So that's huge. But in this case, this is going to be the first time ever that a World Cup is going to be organized by three countries: Mexico, the US, and Canada. It's going to start from June 11th, and the final game is going to be played in New York at the MetLife Stadium in July 19th. And also FIFA is changing the rules. We used to have World Cups where 32 nationalities or teams were playing, but now we are going to have 48. So this adds 62% more games to be played in only around, let's say, 5 weeks. So we're going to have a lot of football, and we have a lot of challenges to make that happen. And again, not only as the largest World Cup, but the best one.
Let me pull on a couple of those threads. The first being, we are talking at a moment when globalization is supposedly a thing of the past, when nationalism, economic nationalism, political nationalism is rising. And the counter to that argument you've just made: on the one hand, we've got three countries cooperating to bring this massive event to the world. And on the other hand, we know there will be a global response. How do you pull that off? So let's talk a bit about first the collaboration among Mexico, Canada, and the United States. I can imagine there could be some sharp elbows in some of that cooperation. Is that true? Is that fair?
To be absolutely honest with this answer, I must go like a step behind, and it is how this World Cup is really being organized, because all rules are changing, except those related to football. That's a good sign. But in terms of logistics and how this is really being organized is different. For example, previous World Cups were organized by a committee. And for example, in Qatar, it was called the Supreme Committee, where the national authorities from the host country plus the football federation of that same country were organizing the World Cup, while FIFA was kind of supervising and being part of it, but not getting like a logistics or operative work, no? In this case, everything changed. So there is no organizing committee. We do not have a trilateral committee. We do not have even a national committees. FIFA decided to have 16 cities as hosts for the World Cup. So we do not have like a US, Mexico, Canada World Cup. There's only yet one logo, but there is no like a trilateral, beautiful diplomatic committee. No, that disappeared completely.
That's a different issue.
It's a different issue, but it goes to how this is being organized at the end in terms of geopolitics, because I do not have to reach my counterparts in the US or Canada to agree, for example, in terms of visas or customs or anything, because at the end, it is a national debate. Yes, there is some kind of coordination. We exchange information. We have very good dialogue. We have had meetings. I have very interesting counterparts in the US and Canada. But at the end, all goes to national and local politics. And that is kind of interesting because at the end, we are dealing with 16 cities having its own committees that are being led by the stadiums, not by the local governments. So, yes, it can go from one side to some kinds of sports diplomacy. But being honest, at the end is more about how are we going from sports diplomacy and non-political, non-diplomatic channels to have a trilateral conversation, just as it happened in the final draw in Washington in December. At the end, an organization that was not being done directly by diplomats ended in a very positive dialogue between President Trump, Prime Minister Carney, and President Sheinbaum.
But let's take an example, security. Clearly, there are people come from all over the world, not just the 48 teams and all of the people around teams, which that's thousands of people already, but all of the media, all of the supporters, the fans. People are coming to Mexico for that opening game, let's say. Some of these people are going to stick around for weeks, and they will want to move to the United States or to Canada as their team moves, as you get into the knockout rounds, etc. So there must be some degree of coordination at the least, particularly in a space like security. But I put a question mark at the end of it.
We have different rules in the three countries. Let's go to a more, like, perhaps an easier issue. Volunteers. Volunteers is a lovely issue. It's about heart, giving, solidarity, and having youth mostly enjoying the World Cup. But each city, especially in the US, have different legislation in terms of volunteering. So we have to find like a common thread, unifying the volunteers program. The same goes to huge and major issues like safety and security. We have to coordinate all national efforts with the states because the three countries are federations. So it goes even more in a more complicated institutional design. But we have to coordinate with states and with the municipalities. But at the same time, the security and safety institutions are having a very strong conversation and I believe a very positive exchange in terms, for example, of exchanging data or flags or any kind of alerts. Because at the end, if we are able to share that information, we can develop a more strategic plan. I mean, Mexico, the US, and Canada are having different kind of, and let's say like red flags. No, we have very different kind of crimes or possible crimes. But at the end, criminals can cross borders because sometimes they know better than us as regular nice cities with a visa process, no? But if we are able to exchange that information as it is going, we have, for example, some exercises when we are exchanging strategies and working plans, I think that is going to strengthen the way that our three governments are working regarding it, being very concrete in terms of safety and security. But if we go, for example, to visas issuing, that's a very different conversation. Of course, Mexico is not going to support these kind of bans against 73 nationalities. It is a very complicated ban, apparently, with very different approaches. But it is not a threat against Mexico. At the end, that's an opportunity for the Mexican tourism industry. I mean, if we are able, for example, to develop a specific strategy for Brazilians, for Colombians, for specific nationalities in Asia and Africa, then we can increase our presence in those countries. And I will use Brazil as an example. Brazil is one of the most important groups in terms of nationalities enjoying a World Cup. They are huge and they invest a lot and they love and are passionate about football. But if they cannot go to the US or if they are being only scared by these bans, of course, we will be very happy to have them in Mexico. And in 2 weeks, Mexico is going to launch the first electronic visa, specifically with Brazil. That's the first example of a new strategy of cooperation and tourism. So I think that perhaps for us, if we have the right strategy, the right approach, combining a good dialogue with the US, but at the same time strengthening our tourism industry, Mexico can receive a lot of benefits.
Let's talk about economics for a minute. I've seen that FIFA's revenue for this World Cup is on the order of $9 billion. Something north of 3 to 4 million tickets are going to be sold. You already mentioned a massive amount of online and television broadcasting and all of the money around all of that. What does all of this mean for Mexico? Who pays, who finances, who benefits?
This has been a huge question in Mexico because, to be honest, there's a lot of between misunderstanding and not the best trust in what we are explaining to people in terms of expenses and taxes and all that issue. So, first of all, this is a very good business for Mexico. Mexico signed an agreement with FIFA in 2018 while President Peña was still in charge. And during his government, they signed a lot of privileges for FIFA and FIFA clients. FIFA clients, let's say, from players, teams, board, the different groups, no? But there was a lot of privileges that were given by President Peña. And we didn't agree with that signature, with those documents. So we started a negotiation process with FIFA that has been very successful. For example, Peña gave 10 years of tax exemptions to FIFA.
10 years?
10 years. Come on, they do not need 10 years to organize a World Cup. In 10 years, you organize 2.5 World Cups. But we reduced that period of time to only 1 year. So it has been a very good negotiation process with, I must say, a very good team from FIFA's side as well. And the Mexican government is tough in terms of taxes. You don't want to be negotiating with the Mexican government in when we are talking about especially those amounts of money of privileges, because it is only about a privilege. So that was good that we reduced that gap, that negotiation. For example, yesterday was announced that all players are going to be obliged to pay their part of taxes because it's part of the salary and their salary was not included into this signature with former President Peña. And on the other hand, we are expecting a lot of tourism. I think it's a very conservative number. This was calculated as well in 2018 when Mexico presented the candidature to FIFA. And they were expecting 5.5 million tourists coming to Mexico only for the World Cup. I believe this is a very conservative number because this represents, for example, 1/3 of the total people that is going in a yearly basis to Cancun. So, of course, we can expect more to happen and to come into Mexico. And when we go to the economic benefits, well, there is an estimate between $1.8 and $3 billion for a benefit to Mexico. But again, this is really small if we compare it with the economic benefits coming from the Formula One or for different international events in Mexico. So I believe that we are going to have very good economic advantages, a very interesting increase in terms of tourism and what they are also spending in Mexico. And we are mixing the World Cup with a national strategy because, yes, it is about football, but for us, there's a very strong mandate from President Sheinbaum that this is about people and how we can give football to people in all Mexico, like from 3 cities to 32 states.
What do war lessons from Gaza, rethinking education, peace in Ukraine, and visionary leadership have in common? They are all themes from recent episodes of this podcast. Check out more episodes on talbergfoundation.org or on a platform of your choice.
The games in Mexico would be played in Mexico City, Monterrey, and Guadalajara. They also have their own organizing responsibilities. So you must coordinate with them, with FIFA, with, at least distantly on some issues, the other countries, and obviously with the rest of your government, which makes your political job complicated.
Well, to give you a very clear idea, Alan, my office doesn't have any legal responsibility. I mean, my job description is not included in any piece of legislation. In the US, for example, President Trump signed an executive order and decided to have a task force with an executive director. In Mexico, that didn't happen. I was appointed months before this happened in the US. I was the first kind of national coordinator in the 40 countries.
You were appointed by President Sheinbaum.
Yes, I was appointed by President Sheinbaum, but as a coordinator, a general coordinator, without this kind of legal descriptions in legislation or executive order. And I do not have any budget. I do not sign for $1, $1, whatever you want to say. I do not have any kind of expenses. So that's a huge challenge, but it's also eloquent on how we are organizing this World Cup. I mean, Mexico is going to make history. We're going to be the first and only country in the world to host a World Cup for a third time. I mean, we had it in 1970, again in 86, and 40 years later, but here we are with our third World Cup. So we have stadiums and very high quality stadiums. I mean, our stadiums are competing with the US and Canadian ones. So that's huge. And that's a big recognition, not only from FIFA, but also for the fans. So that's huge. We are also a huge country in terms of tourism. We are the 6th largest country in terms of the number of people visiting Mexico every year. So we have also this very good infrastructure that we are, of course, improving. But we are also working, as you mentioned, Alan, with the 3 host cities, Mexico City, Guadalajara, and Monterrey. And that is very interesting because we have to work with 2 governors that are coming from different political parties. Nuevo León and Jalisco are governors coming from Movimiento Ciudadano, an opposition party. So, yeah, there's a lot of politics being involved, but in a very positive way, because I believe, and this also extends to FIFA, we can have like different jerseys, different shirts, but at the end, we have to share and build and share strategies and design every good possibility because all goals are going to be shared regardless of political parties or political differences. So that's very interesting. And of course, this dialogue goes to local municipal authorities, which is also interesting because we all have like different responsibilities. But at the end, everything goes to the same table. And yeah, it has been quite an experience, and we are adding more ingredients. So that is like the basic design with FIFA. But for example, we have also training stadiums, like training areas for FIFA, because a lot of teams want to come to North America like a month before the World Cup to start training, to have like their own camps. So is another 10 states in Mexico are also part of the World Cup, considering these training sites.
President Sheinbaum has made it quite clear that as much as she may or may not like football, she really wants this World Cup to leave a positive legacy. And I know that you're working on a number of different programs. Can you talk just a little bit about the Social World Cup, which you explained to me once, and I think it's absolutely fascinating.
Yes. So Mexico has a very different communication strategy if we compare it with the US or Canada. Even that President Sheinbaum likes football, she's not politicizing this event. It is precisely the opposite. What she has instructed us is to move this event from three cities to 32 states. And that's precisely this kind of social World Cup or Mundial Social or Mexico 2026. That's the purpose, the idea. So what is Mexico 2026? That's a national celebration that has a very comprehensive approach and with the idea to have football everywhere in all parts of Mexico. So it includes, for example, and that's going to be announced very soon, a lot of national cups, no, like for schools. And that one for schools is fascinating because our public education system has 22 million students. So even if only 10% of that universe raise their hands and say, I want to play football, then we are going to have a 2 million people students cup. So that's great. And the same goes for different kind of populations, like the elders, like women, people with certain disabilities. So we are reaching different kind of populations to have like all Mexicans moving and having exercise, because this is also related to a health campaign. Mexico, perhaps only after the U.S., has a huge number of obesity, diabetes, overweight prevalence. Our country is really struggling with public health. So if we use the World Cup not only to talk or to see football in a screen, but to play it, then we can change our daily habits and to start having like more physical activation. Of course, we're also having a huge and super interesting cultural program we're expanding the time slot in terms of having 2 months for the cultural program, matching, of course, with the World Cup, to have different experiences for Mexicans, but also for visitors that are coming from abroad. And we are also repairing football fields, because not everything, it's a stadium in Mexico. It was very common for us about 20 years ago to play football in the streets, cascarita, we said. So we want to recover also that part in our communities, because that strengthens the social ties. That helps us also to grow in a different way. When you have a ball and you have a team, as a kid, you know how to solve differences with your community. You know how to have a more frequent dialogue. You get more friends in your own community. So that's also part of this process. How are we dealing with insecurity, with drug consumption from fighting the causes, not only in terms of having like this idea of cops and jails, but also to strengthen the social ties in our community?
there's an amazing number of moving parts in the world that you're coping with now. What are you most worried about? What keeps you up at night?
Oh, a lot of things. We have a lot of happy problems, but I would like to underline this idea of happy problems because, first of all, of course, it's difficult and challenging to organize a World Cup with a very reduced time. I mean, in total, I'm going to have only a year and a half to organize a World Cup. But thanks God, I am having a fascinating team. All the federal government in Mexico is very enthusiastic and doing their part of the job to make this happen. So at the end, I have a huge and fascinating team. But I think that one of the most pressing issues is that, yes, the positive and easy number is to say that we're about 140 days from the opening of the World Cup. But to be honest, the last week of March, we are going to receive 4 playoffs in Mexico, 2 in Guadalajara, 2 in Monterrey, and in March 28th, the Aztec, Orba Norte, or the Mexico City Stadium, because it is changing names, but it is going to be open with Mexico against Portugal, which has a huge rating. So I think that our real time slot to have everything ready is less than 2 months. So I have to give all results, all procedures from visa issuing, customs, safety and security, you name it. I think my job has to do with everything except football, except the funny stuff. But we have to deliver everything in only 60 days. So, for example, for those playoffs, we are going to be able to evaluate what worked fine, what needs to be improved, where we are having more opportunities. But of course, it's going to be a very challenging process. And I think time is the most valuable and complicated resource here. So perhaps it's time what I need, and perhaps I am not sleeping well at night.
Einstein proved a long time ago that time is not linear and it accelerates. And I suspect time for you is accelerating even as we speak. Last question, a football question. Can El Tri make it to the second round, to the shootout round?
I am a Mexican, Alan. Of course, I really would like to have my national team to hold the trophy and to say we won for the first time a World Cup. So that's my dream, my expectation. It is not in my hands. It is on the team side. But yes, the Mexican hearts, we have, I think, a very passionate feeling for our team. I mean, if you see Mexicans behind the screen when we are seeing our national team, regardless of how they are playing, we're like yelling and shouting just as we were like running after them, you know? It's like being part of it. It's a very national expression. We love football. We have very intense feelings about football, about the ball, about our teams. And the idea also is to use this very, very important moment for finding the children, the most talented children, girls and boys, who are dreaming on playing as professionals in football and to give them all possible opportunities. So what we really expect, it's not only this very good result for our team, but also a good outcome and a real moment of transformation for our children to be able to dream and fulfill those dreams in professional sports.
Gabriel Cuevas, thank you very much for this conversation. Good luck in the next weeks, months, I'd say years, but
140 days, but thank you. Thank you so much to Alan. And only a very friendly reminder to the people who is seeing or hearing this podcast. First of all, be careful on where you're buying your tickets for the World Cup. Use official sites, mostly FIFA.com. But there are a lot of frauds happening online. So please be careful on that regard. And the second announcement is that everyone, all nationalities, are welcome to Mexico. We are expecting the world here. If you want to really not only see, but to feel and live our football World Cup, Mexico is the place to go.
There's absolutely nothing I can add to that. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you for listening to this episode of New Thinking for a New World. I'm Alan Stoga, podcast host, and I look forward to your joining our next conversation. Remember, tell us what you think at telbergfoundation.org.